If you would, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, and we will read 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 13. Shortly, a quick note before we jump in about our circumstances. I heard it said this week that we do not have infallible interpretation of the providence that God gives to us, but we do have some interpretation of God's providence in the Scriptures. And so we see in the Scriptures that God often uses disease and plague upon His people to reprove them or to judge the nations. And really that fits in well with our theme this morning. The theme of Paul's Silas and Timothy's writing here this morning is to stand fast. Stand fast until the coming of our Lord. We have been studying through the book of 1 Thessalonians, seeing how Paul is encouraging the believers to have faith, love, and hope. Last time, John showed us the love Paul had for these believers and his desire to see them grow. This morning, we will see very similar themes, though hopefully, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to see them in a new and fresh way. My prayer this morning is that we would learn to stand fast in the Lord and finish the race strong. Have you ever sent your children away on a trip? Or maybe a spouse has been away from you for some reason, for some time. Or maybe you haven't seen a dear friend in some time. You long for their return. You long to hear how they are doing. You long to see them, to see if they have grown, to see if they have faltered. Well, that is the stage of our message this morning. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, longing to see the Thessalonians, longing to hear of their well-being, longing to see them continue on well. With that said, let us read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens, alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when we could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and all our affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. If you would, pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning under a strange set of circumstances which you have given to us. Lord, and whatever the reason might be for your providence in this matter, would we pray that we, as your church, as your people, would stand fast in the Lord today and tomorrow and until you come back. Lord, we do pray that you would take this text and that you would apply it to our hearts, that you would teach us by it, that we would learn to believe in your promises and in your word, that we would learn to love one another, to love one another well, that we would be steadfast, Lord, that we would desire to be with one another. Lord, that we would abound even more and more and increase in love. Lord, and that we would look forward with eager longing and hope towards your return. Lord, we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. So our text this morning is about steadfastness, about holding fast to what God has entrusted to us, and about standing fast until Jesus Christ returns to make all things new. The goal this morning is that this sermon would be very simple, and we will look at three simple points. First, we'll look at Paul's relief in verses 6 through 9. Then we will look at Paul's concern in verses 6 through 10. Then we will look at Paul's goal for the Thessalonians in verses 11 through 13. So I ask you this morning, what is the chief concern of a godly pastor? What ought he be most concerned about? Well, we read in Hebrews 13 that pastors are keeping watch over our souls, and therefore they should be cheerfully and joyfully submitted to by us, because they are going to give an account for our souls. If that is the case, it should be evident that a godly pastor's chief concern should be the spiritual state of his flock. Are they standing fast? Are they persevering? Are they growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they excelling in faith, love, and hope? A godly and wise pastor, like Paul and Silas are, is as concerned about the spiritual maturity of the church as a whole and the individual members as he is concerned about church growth or conversions or adding to our numbers. As history tells us, the church is prone to emphasize conversion or baptisms or numbers and other metrics that make us feel good, as they ought to. This kind of thing has led churches to have thousands of members, but only a fraction of that amount attending on a Sunday morning. And it is a great concern that many today are not concerned about this kind of thing at all. But we have in our text this morning, Paul and Silas. These are men. These are apostles. Paul's an apostle. But they are pastors who have a great love for the church. They have a great concern for her health. And they have a deep joy when they see her progressing in the faith. Let's read verses 6 through 9 again. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? We see this morning that Paul and Silas exhibit a pastorly concern for the saints in Thessalonica. We have seen multiple times in Acts that Paul, Silas, and Timothy suffered greatly. We saw that in Philippi, where they were beaten. We saw that in Thessalonica, where Jason was dragged before the magistrates, and Paul, Silas, and Timothy were ran out of town. We have seen here in this letter that despite all that, Paul, Silas, and Timothy's hearts were still knit together with the Thessalonians. Paul, Silas, and Timothy have great concern for the Thessalonians. Now, this is not a 2% or a skim milk kind of concern. This is deep, heart-wrenching concern for the Thessalonians. We see in verse 1 of this chapter that they did not want to send Timothy back. But they had become so concerned, so worried about the Thessalonians' well-being, that they decided it was a must. We also know that this isn't a skim milk kind of concern because of the way these apostles explode with joy and gratitude. They explode with joy and gratitude just to hear that the Thessalonians are doing okay. We come close to this kind of anxiety when a doctor is testing us or a family member for some kind of debilitating disease. Or maybe if you lose a child at a big event. Life stops for a moment, and these things and their outcomes take over our thoughts. But when we get good news, good test results, or we find that child in a crowd, we have such great relief and joy. This is how the apostles felt to be comforted about the Thessalonians. In verse 6, they write that Timothy had brought them good news. You do remember us kindly. You still have faith and love. You have persevered against affliction. Your faith is a great comfort to us, even in our affliction. And then we see Paul and Silas write, "For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord." For Paul and Silas, the thought that their labor in Thessalonica might have been in vain was like death to them. We have to know we cannot go on like this. We must send Timothy. We must find out. But now that we know, it's like life to us. It's like water in a parched throat. It's like arriving to your destination after you've been driving all day. This relief and joy to our souls, all is well with us now to hear that you still have faith and love. And of course, Paul and Silas knew that it was God who supplied their faith and love, so they cry out with thanksgiving to God. We feel joy for your sakes before our God, and how could we ever thank Him? Paul and Silas had this kind of great joy because they had a true concern for their brethren. They had true concern for the brethren because they had a true love for the brethren. And they had true love for the brethren because they all shared fellowship together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, Christ said that the world will know us by our love for one another. But it seems so often that we have so little concern for one another. Surely, we are concerned when someone is diagnosed with a disease or when someone walks away from the faith in a loud manner. But do we worry about our brethren? Do we desire to hear how they are doing spiritually when everything seems fine? Or do we live and let live when we have concerns? Or do we stay out of one another's business? Or do our fellowship lunch conversations always concern things of this world and never each other's spiritual welfare? One commenter put it this way: good news to Paul and Silas was not this or that earthly success, but the growth in grace of Christian souls. Are we affected the same way when we hear of the victories of the gospel, of missionary triumphs abroad, of converted sinners, of holy deaths, of Christians who have finished well? It is a sure measure of our spiritual state. If we know the deep blessedness of communion with God, we shall count it good news indeed when we hear of other souls being drawn into that holy fellowship. So that's Paul's relief. We see that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had a deep love for the Thessalonians. And they were concerned, but they had great joy to hear that they were doing well. So then we move on to the next point, Paul's concern. And you may be thinking, okay, Paul is concerned about the Thessalonians. And he's really concerned about them. He's very worried about them. But what things is he concerned about? What things is he concerned about? Let's read verses 6 through 10 again. "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. So if our last point was, for whom is Paul concerned? This point is, for what is Paul concerned? Well, there are three things that Paul is mainly concerned about for the Thessalonians. He's mainly concerned to hear of their faith. Secondly, he's mainly concerned to hear of their love. And thirdly, he's mainly concerned to hear of their steadfastness. So, we begin with faith. We see in verse 6 that Timothy brings good news of their faith. And in verse 10, Paul says that they want to supply what is lacking in their faith. So how ought we to understand this? Well, I think firstly and foremostly, Paul is concerned about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's concerned about their taking hold of all his promises. He's concerned that they continue believing what Paul, Silas, and Timothy had preached to them when they were in Thessalonica. Remember that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were run out of Thessalonica by a mob of angry Jews. They were offended at the preaching of the gospel. And remember that Paul had been publicly debating with those Jews in the synagogues. I think Paul and Silas were worried that the Jews in Thessalonica might convince the new converts that Christ was not who Paul said he was, that they really had no reason to trust Christ, that the law still held them condemned, and that all of Christ's promises were not enough for them. So, Paul, like a good pastor, is desperately wanting to know if they have fallen away, if they have been tempted to apostasy by the Jews, if they have been tempted to forsake the faith that had been preached to them. But secondly, Paul also says that there is something lacking in their faith. What could he mean by this? Does he mean that their faith lacks works and is therefore a dead faith? Or that maybe their faith is not an actual faith, but more like the seeds in the parable of the sower? They sprouted up, but they have been choked out by the cares of this world. I think there are two things to think about here. And one is that this statement by Paul, that there is something lacking in their faith, ought to be a great comfort to us. Firstly, we know that faith is a gift of God. And when it is given, it always saves to the uttermost. But our faith in God, our trust in His promises, our conviction of things unseen is not perfect in this life. We experience doubt in the promises of God. We disobey because we do not trust His commands, or we feel that we have sinned too much to still be a Christian. Dear friend, do you think that every Israelite that crossed the Red Sea did so in a triumphant manner? Or were there some that looked at the wall of water on either side with fear and trembling? Yet all these were brought to the other side, for it was God who saved them, and not their degree of composure. Dear friend, if you think that you have something lacking in your faith, the only sure hope for you is to trust in Christ, in the hope of His return, not to look to the circumstances of your feelings or the doubts in your minds, but look to Christ. A second thing that Paul means by a lack in their faith, Paul says in verse 10 that he wants to supply what is lacking in their faith. He is using the term faith to mean their understanding of Christian doctrine and the Christian life. He is saying that there are some things that I did not get to teach to you because we left so soon. There are things you have yet to learn. You only got spiritual milk from me, but you need meat. Paul desires to be with them again because he wants to continue teaching them. He wants to impart spiritual wisdom to them for their own good. Just as we may not have a full and complete assurance at moments in our life, It is also true that we do not have a full and complete understanding of the doctrine that is expounded in God's Word. Of course, our salvation, and the point here, is that our salvation does not rely on these things, but it relies on Jesus Christ alone and His works. So that is faith. Paul, as a good pastor, is concerned about the faith of the Thessalonians. But Paul, as a good pastor, is also concerned about their love. In verse 6, Timothy brought the good news of their love. Paul was fearful that the Thessalonians might begin to despise one another, that their initial love might fade away, or that the distress and affliction, the squeezing from the Jews, might turn them against one another. But Paul received good news. The Thessalonians, they still love one another, and they still love you, Paul, Silas. They had not been given into temptation to abandon their fellowship. This is what you could think of Timothy coming back to say. This is very applicable to us today. Brethren, there are many occasions in the course of just one Sunday where we may be tempted to stop loving one another. This must never be. We must remember how concerned the Apostle Paul was that the Thessalonians love one another. Add to this that we may be faced with distress and affliction from within or from the world. It matters not who or what happens to us. We must love one another. We may be in a period of flourishing. We must love one another. We may be in a period of great distress and attack. We must love one another. Or we may be, as we are this morning, the remote Baptist Church of Kansas City instead of the Reformed Baptist Church of Kansas City. It matters not. We must love one another. We love one another because we have been grafted into Christ. We have fellowship with one another because we have fellowship with Him. We love because He first loved us. There has been much talk of brotherly love in this book that we are studying, and there is more to come. The point here this morning that Paul is concerned about their love is that we must hold fast to Christian love for the sake of one another, for the sake of the church, and for the sake of God's glory in this world. So Paul, as a good pastor, is concerned about their faith. As a good pastor, he's concerned about their love of one another and of the world in general. But Paul, as a good pastor, is concerned about their steadfastness. The overwhelming theme of Paul's concern in our passage this morning is steadfastness. He says in verse 8, "For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord." It is Paul's concern for the Thessalonians that they continue on in the faith and love they once had. We see many examples in Scripture of those who were not steadfast. We see Demas, who Paul knew well, who abandoned Paul because he loved the world. We see Judas, who betrayed Christ for silver. We see the people of Israel who time and time again committed themselves to God, but time and time again abandoned His word to follow their own pursuits. We see the church of Ephesus in Revelation who abandoned the love that they had at first. I recently heard an older godly man say that the number one thing that he was concerned about was finishing his life with steadfastness. Friends, we all ought to think this way, no matter our age. Brethren, Satan assaults us from all sides. We must be watchful. We must hear the words of Christ to watch and pray. Is my heart growing cold towards God? Is my heart growing cold towards my brothers? Is my heart growing cold towards the world? Is my love for the brethren fading? Are my spiritual disciplines lapsing? Every man's heart is a garden. It must be attended to daily. There will be weeds that spring up, Be diligent to pluck them up quickly. There will be plants that wither. Be diligent to water them quickly. There will be fruits ready to pick. Be diligent to pick them and enjoy what God has given you. And dear brethren, we ought to have this concern for one another. We ought to attend to one another. We ought to concern ourselves with one another's spiritual welfare. Satan has quite successfully tempted us to think that we should not involve ourselves in other people's business. And to some extent, that's true. But we also hear in Scripture that older men are to teach the younger men. Older women are to teach the younger women. Pastors are to care for the flock. And we are to love one another. As we learned in James a while ago, whoever brings back a person from his wandering saves his soul from death. Dear friends, we ought to have a godly love for the brethren. We ought to have a godly concern for their welfare. And we ought to have a godly joy when we see them standing fast in the Lord. So that's Paul's concern. He's concerned about their faith. He's concerned about their love. And he's concerned that they stand fast in the Lord. But now we move on to Paul's goal in verses 11 through 13. Paul has great relief to hear that the Thessalonians are doing well. And he is greatly concerned about their faith, their love, and their steadfastness. But Paul also has a larger goal in mind. He does not just want them to continue in the love that they have. He wants to see them. He wants to see them abound all the more in faith and love. And he wants them to be blameless in holiness at the return of Christ. Starting in verse 11, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." So Paul and Silas and Timothy, in these three verses, have three goals for the Thessalonians. They present these as a benediction and as a request to God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And before we begin these three goals, this is an important point to make. In every one of these goals, Paul, Silas, and Timothy know that it is God who establishes their steps. It is God who increases their love. It is God who sanctifies them for Christ's return. As Paul has said elsewhere, some of us plant, some of us water, but it is God who gives the growth. Just as we are commanded to endeavor in the faith and love that we have been given, we also ought to remember and understand that it is God who sanctifies us. God is making us into what He will have us to be. So the three goals of Paul, Silas, and Timothy are reunion. The second goal is abundant love. And the third goal is that the Thessalonians would be prepared for Christ. Prepared for Christ. So reunion. Paul, Silas, and Timothy desire to be back with the Thessalonians. This point may be the most relevant one to us today with you all at home. I must say it is weird to preach to five people in an iPad. The iPad doesn't even laugh at my jokes. That being said, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were relieved to hear of the Thessalonians' faith and love. But even with this good report, even with this good news, they still desired to be with them. Not only to teach them more of the faith, but simply because they dearly loved them. Dear brethren, you should take this as a rule. Your desire to be with the brethren is a gauge of your spiritual state. If you find yourself not desiring fellowship with the brethren, you are in deep trouble. Paul has a pastor's heart. He wants to be with the Thessalonians to help them in their affliction. He wants to be near to them because he loves them. We have said before that our Lord's days are a slice of heaven, and one of the main reasons for that is that we get to gather with the people of God. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy desire reunion with the Thessalonians. But they also desire love. Now we saw in point two that Timothy brought back a good report of their love. But Paul and Silas and Timothy desire an abundant love. The apostle has received good news of their faith and love, but he desires that they have an even more abundant love. A love that overflows. A love not only for the brethren, but for all the people that they may meet. We have spent some time on love already this morning, so I will not say much. But I want you to remember that Paul was glad to hear of their faith, but it was also lacking. He was glad to hear of their great love for one another, but he also implies here that it was lacking in some way, and that it could be more abundant, and that God could give it more increase. If you love the church now more than you ever have before, I would commend you to love her more. So Paul desires for them reunion, to be with them. He desires also that they would increase in love and abound in love. But the third thing is that Paul desires that they would be prepared for Christ's return. Paul, Silas, and Timothy desire that the Thessalonians would be holy because Jesus Christ is coming again. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is coming again. Paul is praying that you and I would be abounding in love, that we would be holy before him, that we might look to with great delight at his second coming, when we will all be made new, when our faith will be perfected and our love will be infinite and our bodies will be redeemed fully. But his prayer is that the Thessalonians would look forward with hope so that they would stay steadfast in faith and in love right now. Our Lord is coming again, yet he has commanded us to live for him now. He has commanded that we be steadfast until his return. It should be the desire of every Christian's heart to be prepared for the Lord's return, to be abounding in love for God and for the brethren, to hold fast the faith that we have been given, to be holy before him when he comes. We see in the parable of the talents, the master gave 5 talents to one servant. He gave 2 to another and 1 to another. And then he left for a journey. But when he returned, the 5 talents had become 10, and the 2 talents had become 4. Dear Christian, God has given you the gifts of faith and love. He has saved you with an everlasting salvation. We ought not squander it. Do not sit on it. Hold fast to Christ. Endeavor all the more to grow in faith and love and every grace. One day he will come, and as the master said to his servants, he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." So we see here that Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they have 3 goals: to be reunited, to have an abundant love, and that the Thessalonians would be prepared for Christ. And to close, I would like to look at something that we kind of glossed over. We see in 1 Thessalonians, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6, that Timothy has come to us from you, and he has brought us the good news of your faith and love. Now, the verb that is used here is the verb that's also used of proclaiming the gospel. You could read it, Timothy has come to you from us and has proclaimed to us the gospel of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. Now, of course, the faith and love of the Thessalonians is not the gospel as we think of it. But we also see that this concern that Paul, Timothy, and Silas had for the Thessalonians was like death to them. It was despair to them. And it mirrors our own death and despair that we feel when we are afflicted with a sense, a true sense of our sin. But then we see also in verse 8, that Paul and Silas write, "For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord." This is very much so like our own experience of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we are afflicted with the sense of our sin, but yet we hear the good news that Christ has given us faith and has a great love for us. Now we live. A great burden has been removed from our shoulders. And we are free to love God and to love our brethren. Now we also see in verse 10 that the Thessalonians had something lacking in their faith. And their love could have increased and abounded more and more. But with the true gospel of Jesus Christ, this is not so. God has given us a faith that will save us to the uttermost. And Jesus Christ has a perfect love that saves all those who trust in Him to the uttermost. Dear friends, I pray that you would stand fast in the Lord. I pray that I would stand fast in the Lord. I pray that we would be concerned with it, no matter our age. And I pray that in all of this, that we would look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our only salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, grateful and glad, Lord, that we have a great salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, that He has done all for us that we need, that in every way He has accomplished our salvation, and given us the gift of faith that we might trust in Him and in His perfect work on the cross. And that He has given to us a new heart, able to love God and to love our brethren more and more. Lord God, we hear also the warnings in Your Word against falling away, of not standing fast in the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, give us grace to stand fast. Lord, be merciful on us when we sin. Give us grace to repent. I pray that we would endeavor after you with all seriousness. Lord, I pray that we would look forward to when Jesus Christ is coming to make all things right. I pray that we would look forward with a great hope and that it would cause us to abound in faith and in love. Lord, bless us now as we sing. I pray that you would apply this word to our hearts, Lord, that we would continue to grow in the grace and love of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.